Welcome back, Lauren. It's been a long time since we've heard from you.
Well, I've had a good time the last week and a half watching Illinois football practice. We've got a lot of things to see. It is open here, which is great, except for Saturday night. And it's so different from all around the Big Ten, where they're closed in Maryland, they're closed at Ohio State, they're closed at Michigan, you know, they're closed at Penn State. Maybe you get a 15-minute look at the team when they're doing jumping jacks or something, but you don't get to see any. We're watching the plays, and I'm seeing a different offense and a different team this year.
Well, Tate Lyons Unedited, the podcast, is back from summer vacation. This is its official return. I'm Jim Rosso. That's Lauren Tate, who's been covering Illinois football for 50-plus years. And he's happy to be back on maybe a weekly basis. We'll get this podcast going again. No more golf for you, Lauren. No more softball. No more lunches with Lou Hansen.
I took the golf clubs out and put my folding chair in there so I can go out to practice and sit down and relax and enjoy it.
Anyway, Lauren is back, and today's return is going to be devoted to Illinois football because Lauren's been stuck at practice for almost two straight weeks now.
Yeah, as he said, it's been a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Let's start with this, Lauren. Is it true that Lovie Smith is the only coach in the Big Ten still coaching, still allowed to coach, not in trouble?
Well, I think there are a couple. Yeah, not many. They still let Harbaugh coach at Michigan, don't they?
All right.
Well, there's real trouble at a couple of places, Ohio State and Maryland. We don't need to go into that. But that Maryland thing, it looks like Durkin might not survive it, the head coach.
A lot of upheaval in the Big Ten. Not necessarily, even at Illinois, not that deep of trouble, but they had an assistant coach here announces.
And you know, yesterday watching practice, I noticed that Lovie was really involved with the defensive backs. And dumb old me, I didn't realize that Abraham had quit, but I'm watching Lovie out there, and he's going man-to-man with the guys. He was, you know, right on top of them, and I think he enjoys it. I think he likes working with the defense. He always works with the defensive backs anyway. But now he's really involved. He and Gilbert are coaching them back there. And look, they've added a new coach. We got the same number of coaches this year we had last year, except they added one now. And Donnie Abraham, I think, made a lot of money in the NFL, a lot of money. He's making a lot of money as a coach. And I think he wants to go back to Florida and see his son play his senior year. His son's going to be a recruited athlete. And it's got to be tough being away from your family, being away from your wife and your son at a time like this. So I think that it was wearing on him, and I think he just finally said, I got to go back. And you know, it may not come out sounding very good for Illinois in this situation, but I think Donnie felt like he had to go back.
All right, I'm not reading. I shouldn't read anything more into
it
than that.
You know, at first I did. At first I thought there must be something there. You know, maybe did something wrong, but I don't think that's the case.
All right. Well, we're again closing in on the end of the open portion of the Illinois practices. Lauren weighed in on the openness of it.
Right.
General impressions. How about your most impressive part of it?
I'm just going to throw something out at you because I think they got a weapon out there that most people forget. I have never seen anybody punt the ball like Hayes, the big Australian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is bombing the highest punts I've ever seen, the longest punts. He was an all-star punter last year as a freshman. This year, he's sensational. I mean, every single time he got big hands to catch the ball, and he really booms it. So I just bring that up because the big difference on the football team, the big difference is the misdirection of the offense. They've got guys going both ways a lot. They've got Dudek maybe running a reverse. They've got a quarterback faking to a running back going one direction. Then the quarterback runs the other direction. We didn't do that with Wes Lunt. We didn't run the quarterback. We're going to run the quarterback. You look at what Arizona did last year, and that'll give you an idea. Rod Smith coached at Arizona. By the way, he's got a quarterback named Tate, by the way, who is going to be a Heisman candidate. So he left a Heisman candidate, and he's here coaching a bunch of guys that aren't near that good, but they are going to run the football. The quarterbacks are going to run, and I think that's the big difference that I see in that misdirection. The offense has got a lot more tricky. When I see a lot of plays where I don't know for an instant who's got the ball. You know, they're faking the handoff or did they give the handoff? You can't really tell, and I think that's really going to improve the offense. You got 11 players on offense now. Before, when you had a running game, you only had 10. When you had Wes Lunt, when you had Jeff George, you had 10 guys that were going to do something offensively on the run because the quarterback always handed it off.
For the longtime Illinois fan, it harkens to what previous season what previous
it,
offense?
It harkens back to Shieldhouse, and it harkens back to Juice Williams.
All right.
They kept the ball out. They ran the ball. And I think the success of the football team in 2007 when they went to the Rose Bowl was Juice Williams running the football at Ohio State. Remember how he did that. And keeping the ball when, you know, you get the defense surging in one direction and then all of a sudden the quarterback's running the other direction with the ball, it makes a big difference. And I think I see that this year as being a positive and one of the big, the single biggest change team-wise. I think that's what it is.
You like it, sounds like.
I like the offense. I've seen other teams use it. I know what Arizona did. I've seen Northwestern use it when they had a running quarterback. I've seen the advantage of having a guy that can, and not only the ability to run the ball, but the ability to scramble on a pass situation. When you the receiver's not open and you can buy a couple seconds with your feet. When we've had quarterbacks that could not do that, and this is a total commitment. Every quarterback they have out there, they have five of them on scholarship, and all five can run.
Okay. All right. Again, Lauren's been next to the field for all the practices. Strongest position, maybe the deepest position. Lauren.
Well, it's clearly wide receiver. Okay. I mean, Dudek is back. He looks good. Smalling's going to have a good year. Sam Mays decided to stay. He's looked very good in practice. Stampley from Champaign Centennial is a very promising young player. And, of course, a transfer from junior college. And Justice Williams has been a big surprise, number 32. He was a linebacker last year, and they saw in practice that he had a knack for catching the ball. And I think they like to use guys like he and Reams, who was formerly a tight end. They like those big wide receivers for their blocking ability, too. On blocking plays, Justice Williams and Reams make a big difference.
Strongest position was receiver, but you just told me the quarterback's going to be running a lot. Does it matter that they're so good at catching the ball?
Well, yeah, I think that it's going to be a mix, and it's going to be run first, pass second, I think, mainly because I haven't seen any of the quarterbacks, I haven't seen either Thomas or Bush, show a great, great skill for accurate passing. And being able to pick up coverages in the secondary when guys break open and that sort of thing. The defense have been, it's been a off and on whether the offense or defense wins in practice. But you know the history of Illinois defensively is that they have fewer interceptions over time than almost any team in the nation. Mm-hmm. We don't get interceptions at Illinois, and that's got to change. But I don't know if it will this year. They're awful young in the secondary. They're still learning, and I don't know if they'll be an integrated group that we want. Although the first four starters, as long as Hobbs and Williams are available, I think we'll and I think Green will be at the other safety with Williams, and I think it's going to be a pretty good starting unit. But the second unit's going to be made up of a lot of freshmen, and the fifth position in the backfield, the nickel position, might have a freshman in there too. We'll see.
Biggest change, I'm guessing quarterback might be the
topic. Well, yeah, I've kind of gone into that. The emphasis on running the quarterback is really, really strong. They've got some plays where it's an option, and they've got some plays where it's a definite run right from the snap. And I think that, as I said, all five of the quarterbacks can run. Maybe a strong runner like Taylor from Peoria would be a good guy to have in there, except that he hasn't shown the passing ability that maybe some of the other. The most natural, we got one natural quarterback. That's my opinion, and I don't necessarily, anybody has to agree with me, but Matt Robinson from California is a natural quarterback. He is instinctive. He makes the right plays. Now, he's a freshman, so he will not always make those right plays, but you give him time. I would put money on him 1 year from now, disregarding any freshmen that they might bring in between now and next year. I would think he would be the starting quarterback next year. I think he's better than Thomas in terms of throwing the ball and the instincts that you need at quarterback. Thomas right now I think is number two. He's a sophomore. He played four games last year. And Bush is running away with the starting position as of now.
How is that possible? What has he done to separate himself?
Let's Let's go back. First of all, he started at Nebraska. He was recruited at Nebraska as a four-star quarterback. He didn't play there. He transferred to Iowa Western and played there. And then he went to Virginia Tech, and he had a really tight battle going with Josh Jackson from Virginia Tech. And in the final week, they decide that Josh Jackson was going to be the quarterback. Then the guy goes out and has a great game, and he has another good game, and he throws for 2,500 yards and 25 touchdowns. And the next thing you know, the season's over, and Bush only got to play, 11? He threw 11 passes. He did have a 34- or 36-yard run at one time, but he didn't get to play much. He only played in five games. So he is relatively inexperienced, but he's far more experienced than anybody else we have on this team. And I think the experience is paying off. And I think the other thing is that you got to remember Rod Smith brought him in after the recruits were already recruited, at least the two of them. Rod Smith brought two players in himself. He brought Bush, and he brought Robinson from California. And he had followed Bush since high school. He had known about him all the way through. So it was a case of an opening here. We're seeing this all over the country where quarterbacks. You don't have 4-year backups. If a guy's a backup a couple years, he goes somewhere else. They transfer. You've got starting quarterbacks not only at Michigan in the Big Ten, but you've got starting quarterbacks mm-hmm. at Auburn and LSU and all over the country. You've got guys that transfer in. They're all trying to find their proper level. And Bush believes that this is the proper level for him, that this is a position that he could win. And I think Rod Smith indicated that to him, and I think so far that's what's happening.
All right, it's August 15th as we talk Illinois football. Why not make A.J. Bush proclaim him the starter now? Or does that—
Well, they could. I think we all know that.
Okay.
Without him announcing it, it's clear when you come out every day in practice and the first quarterback to take snaps and, mm-hmm. and to run when you're on 11-on-11 and he's the guy, it's clear. I mean, I just left practice a few minutes ago, and he was the starting quarterback through most of it. The only other quarterbacks that played were Thomas as a backup and Robinson as a backup.
Does he remind you of any former Illinois quarterback?
No, he doesn't. Okay. He's left-handed, for one thing. He wouldn't remind me of either Shieldhouse or he wouldn't remind me of Juice Williams, no.
Okay.
I don't know that he's going to be good enough. That worries me. I can't tell that he's got the skill to do this. It's his last chance. He's a fifth-year senior, and this has got to be the year for him. But a lot is resting on his shoulders, and he doesn't always make the best decisions, but I think he's the best of what Illinois has right now. I mean, it's a difficult thing when you've got so many freshmen and guys that Thomas has never shown a particular skill in throwing the ball, so I don't know. If he doesn't show well, they'll have somebody else in there pretty fast. Thomas may get a chance, and I wouldn't be surprised if Robinson didn't get a chance somewhere along the line.
Okay. Other than uncertainty at quarterback, what's your biggest concern so far?
My biggest concern clearly the depth at linebacker. Illinois looks to me like they have. You know, we had a couple guys named Watson and Trey Watson and Julian Jones left. They were starters last year. Now we've got maybe three linebackers that look to me like they're head and shoulders above the rest. Three's not enough. It's enough to start the game, but I think Phillips will be very good in the middle, and I think that they've got high hopes for Hanson, who I've never seen other than in practice, and they're not tackling, so I can't tell how good the linebackers are. And the third linebacker is Delly Harding. And with those three, they're okay. But beyond that, you can't play just three linebackers all the time. They're going to have to be substitutes in there, and that's going to be a weakness, I think.
All right, you can get Lauren's take on football and all things Illini Athletics several times a week on radio Saturday mornings, in print on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. and even more radio during the midweek. But before I let you get out of here to get back to your normal duties, let's end on a high note, this podcast.
Okay.
Some newcomers. Who should I be fired up about?
Well, okay, it's clear now with Jamal Milan out for some weeks at defensive tackle that they need depth at defensive tackle. I want to bring up something else, though. I just went over to double check. We started 16 freshmen last year. We redshirted two guys. One guy's name is Green. The other guy's name is Oladipo. They're a part of that same class. The interesting thing is that Oladipo is now starting defensive tackle as a redshirt freshman, and Green from Peoria is a starting offensive guard, which means that's a pretty good class, Jim.
All right.
That's 18 players that are front and center on this ball club. I think that you're going to see, I think you're going to see about three or four defensive backs play on special teams or maybe as backups or maybe as a nickel back and as subs. I think the defensive backfield is going to be not the starters, but there's going to be a lot of those guys. There's a guy named Martin out there. There's a guy named Joseph. There's a guy named Warren. They're gonna play. They're not bad. They're young, but I think that this isn't going to be like last year where you're going to have a whole bunch of freshmen playing. This is not going to be that. This is going to be a lot of sophomores playing and a few seniors led by Allegretti and people like Bush and Phillips at linebacker. And there's only eight seniors on the team. For the second year in a row, less than 10 seniors. That's incredible. Probably, I would say it's close to setting an NCAA record that you could go 2 years without at least 10 seniors. Remember, when I talk about a senior, I'm talking about a fourth-year senior and a fifth-year senior. That's two classes, and we've only got eight players out of those two classes, which is not good. But Illinois is building toward next year. They should be a pretty good football team. Next year, we'll know who our quarterback is. Next year, we'll have all these guys returning.
Why does it seem I've heard that before?
I know Lauren. You have, but doesn't that make sense with all these sophomores? They'll be juniors next year. They'll be better next year.
How's Lovey doing? Is he in a?
Well, Lovey is. You know, he's fine. He's a terrific guy. He's a nice man. He doesn't give us much to go on. He's not going to give you a lot of inside information and one of the disappointments, by the way, and he won't tell us, is Larry Boyd, who started at tackle last year offensively, is in the doghouse. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to play. I don't think he is. I think maybe at some point he'll play this season, but I don't think he'll play in the opener. They've got him down on the third team, and sometimes it's like he isn't even there. So there's something going on there, and I don't know the inside story, but you know, you remember that he was benched in the spring, and then there was something happened about a month ago where we thought he was leaving, and then he didn't leave. He's still there, and he's still out on the team. He's number 76. He's still practicing, but sometimes he just stands around, and you know, there's something going on there, and I can't tell you what it is.
Well, Lauren, you're not in our doghouse, never have been in all these years of covering Illinois sports. Your general outlook, I'll close on this one, for Illinois football, good, bad, ugly.
Oh, it's going to be a tough season. We've got some games that I see. You know, the first couple games against Kent State and Western Illinois should be wins. The game in Chicago is going to be very difficult against South Florida. I would think Penn State is out of our league in the fourth game, the first Big Ten home game. And then after that, you've got teams at Rutgers. Maryland's a beatable team. Purdue's a beatable team. Northwestern, I don't think, is out of our reach, although they're probably a little better than Illinois. Nebraska's might be weaker than you think. Nebraska might be doable. Now, going there, that's a different story because they expect Frost to do miracles there. But I think that Illinois will be more competitive with the teams that they are expected to be competitive with. And the good news is they don't play Michigan State, they don't play Michigan, they don't play Ohio State. So the three of the top teams in the conference, they don't play. And the only one out of the East that's really a top team that they play is Penn State.
All right. Well, Lauren, glad to have you back.
Well, we're glad to have you back. What, you have 2 weeks off? How long were you gone?
Almost 2 weeks. I took a tour of the West Coast, studied my college football teams out there, see how much UCLA and USC are revered in L.A. They get no coverage at all, by the way. Do you know that?
Big city.
Illinois fans should be lucky for the coverage in all reality that this football and athletic program get compared
just
to what other.
Just need to win a few games.
Wouldn't that be
People
great?
Get pretty depressed.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, that was Tate Lyons Unedited. And tell you what, we'll be back sooner than you expect.
All right.
Thanks, Lauren.